Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. When the banking industry went to Capitol Hill, it got billions in bailout money. This week, when the automakers went to the Hill, they wanted the same boost and got nothing in return, though lawmakers may take up the issues again next month. For now, many predict millions of jobs are at risk while the auto industry is in a major slump. Filmmaker Michael Moore says Washington is applying an unacceptable double standard. A Flint native, his 1989 documentary, Roger and Me, discussed many of the issues plaguing the industry today. We spoke to him about the developments this week. Michael Moore, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So what have you been thinking as you're watching the back and forth between, or among, I should say, the car makers, the heads of those companies, and the lawmakers in Capitol Hill?
Well, of course, the first thing I've noticed comparing what's been going on this week with the automaker executives there, and a few weeks ago when all the big bankers and insurance company people were there, is that when the banks and Wall Street showed up, it was welcome. What can we do for you? Just step right up here to our ATM machine. Whatever you need, no questions asked. And these people on Wall Street, they actually don't make anything. they just make money off money, you know, or as we've learned, off in invisible magical schemes that don't exist in the three-dimensional reality that we all live in. But the automakers actually produce something. They produce something that's useful that people need to use in our society. And as soon as they arrived, it's like, oh, wait a minute here. I don't know. This just doesn't sound like a good idea. I immediately noticed the difference in between how the Wall Street bankers were treated and these poor schmucks from Detroit.
But even you are well aware of the conundrum here. I mean, here you were way ahead of the curve 20 years ago when you made the documentary Roger and Me and just identified some of the real problems of the direction that the auto industry was heading in.
Right. Now, well, yes. And I've for 20 years have tried to, you know, tell people, whoever would listen, that these companies are not going to survive. They don't have the best interests of the country or their workers at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we do something about this, there's going to be a total collapse. The collapse now is here. And what needs to happen is, you know, we the people and our representatives in Congress have almost a moral responsibility to protect the industrial infrastructure that these companies represent. This large, vast industrial infrastructure in this country must not be allowed to just vanish, or we are all going to suffer. Not just the few million workers that are going to hurt as a result of this, but the entire society will have a very hard time recovering from something that could trigger a real depression. Having said that, just giving a bailout to the current management, to the people that have been running this company and who've run it into the ground, or these companies, is just an absolute mistake. And I think Congress and our new president needs to do what Franklin Roosevelt did at the beginning of World War II, where he said to General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, I'm sorry, you're not going to build cars anymore. You're going to build planes and tanks and other things that we need because we are facing an enormous crisis. Well, we're facing an enormous crisis right now with the economy, with the polar ice caps melting, which are in large part due to the automobiles on this planet, and to the fact that we are running out of oil. We have very little on this continent, and sometime within our lifetime or our children or grandchildren's lifetime, we're not going to have this fossil fuel. So Detroit has done nothing to prepare for those calamities that are ahead of us.
But that's the conundrum right there, though, isn't it? In other words, management has not thought about the future. They were busy making those big gas-guzzling SUVs that it turns out are not energy efficient and not sustainable when gases are as high as we saw over the summertime. At the same token, you don't want to punish the workers for the mistake of management. So how do you balance those two things?
The government says we're going to provide the money to keep these factories open. We are removing the management because now we, the people, are investing billions of dollars into the company. We actually are now going to become the de facto owners of the companies, and we are going to determine what these companies are going to build. So remove the management of these corporations and put in their place people who are charged with the responsibility to build hybrid cars, fuel-efficient cars, and mass transit, especially mass transit. Imagine if all of our car factories were suddenly building light rail, locomotives, trains, buses, inner-city buses, things that we, you know, true mass transit, subways. If we had a national public works program using our factories to build these things that the society needs and the planet needs in order to prevent the environmental collapse that's coming, if we did that, everyone wins. The workers have good jobs. The planet cleans itself up, and the economy starts to recover.
But do we really want the government in the business of making anything?
No. Yes and no. No. The government should not be the automaker. The government should not be building cars. But the government can control who's building the cars and how they're being built and the kinds of cars or vehicles or mass transit that's being built. That's what we have to do. And that's a simple thing. Roosevelt did it, and Barack Obama needs to do it when he takes office.
Last question. We're doing a series this week on debt. What are your tricks for staying out of debt?
Well, I'll tell you what I've always done. I didn't own my first credit card until I was 35 years old. I just, all through my 20s, I just thought, you know, I saw my friends go into, you know, horrible debt as young people, overusing their credit cards. So I never used a credit card. I waited until I had cash to buy a car. And that's how I've always, you know, lived my life. I've just never really believed that debt was a good idea. I also have never bought for myself a share of stock because I've always believed that I should make my money from my labor and my creativity.
No credit cards and no stocks. You know what, Michael Moore? I think there's a whole lot of people out there who are going to wish they didn't have a credit card and they never bought stock. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Michael Moore, his most recent movie is Sicko, a documentary comparing the American healthcare industry to other nations. And Alvin Hall, the financial consultant, is going to be with us shortly. What are your questions about getting out of debt, how to pay off those credit cards, anything you're concerned about? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Mark Garrison is here with a few headlines.
Thank you. Coming up on 29 minutes after the hour.